This is part 7 in a 7-part series iterating the various metaphors which Chazal assembled to try to capture the experience of Torah, the essence of Torah. Because Torah is so broad and multifaceted, it was difficult for Chazal, it was impossible to try to distill it within one or even two metaphors. And Chazal chose many different liquids, beverages, trees, hammers, stones, children's toys. This last shiur will describe, there aren't only 7, but these are what I think are the 7 most prominent ones. Torah is compared to oil. Very provocative association. It really stems from one pasuk and one pasuk only, in the beginning of Shir HaShirim. I mentioned earlier in the series that that's the site of the Torah is being compared to wine. But Kitovim Dodecha Miyayin. But that opening section of Shir HaShirim also associates it to oil being poured. Shemen Turak Shemecha. Al Kain Alamos Ahivucha. So Torah is being compared, at least according to Chazal, to Shemen, which is being poured. The language of the Medrash, quoted in Shir HaShirim, it's also in Devarim Tanchuma. Torah is compared to Shemen. And it iterates 3 different reasons. And I'd like to discuss each of those 3 reasons. Number one, and the obvious, and the one that's most often cited and most familiar, is that oil produces light. And Torah is meant to produce light also, ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. And when we say Torah produces light, I think it's both metaphorically, it's also cosmologically. Metaphorically, we see this world as presenting challenges, moral confusion, personal challenges, uncertainty. And very often, psychologically, when people feel confused, they describe a darkness because we're unable to pass through darkness. I think in the modern period of electricity, this association has become a little bit less psychologically compelling because we're not as fearful of the dark. We live in the dark more extensively than we ever did. Our sleeping patterns reflect that, our transportation, our mobility. But still at a very deep level of the human psyche, darkness suggests lack of direction, lack of clarity, lack of visibility, confusion, immobility. And Torah is meant to provide the guidance, to cast light, clarity, to a degree reason, direction. So when Torah is compared to oil, Chazal are trying to capture the fact that Torah is not just a document to study Hashem's will, but can help human beings negotiate and traverse a world which would otherwise be filled with confusion, uncertainty, evil, all the failures or limitations of human experience that are connoted by the concept of darkness. And for this reason, the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, which provided light, is always seen as a symbol of Torah, as opposed to, let's say, the Shulchan, which provided food, was seen as an icon or a symbol of material experiences. Rav Kahana, when someone would offer an interesting pshat, the highest praise you could heap was Kaftar Vaferach, invoking both the flowers as well as the buttons or the knobs which ornamented the menorah. The Netziv says that this represented the highest commendation because Rav Kahana was commenting on an idea being both aesthetically pleasing as well as functionally meaningful. Sometimes people offer Torah ideas that are very elegant and exciting, but they don't really solve a problem. They're just extraneous and to a degree redundant. And sometimes people solve a problem, but the solution is very inelegant. And when Rav Kahana sensed the union between necessity and aesthetics, he commended it by calling it Kaftor Vaferach, referring to the 2 distinct components of the menorah. The Kaftorim symbolized function. They held the arms together, not really because the menorah was miksha, was hammered from one piece of gold, but at least it appeared as if those knobs were holding the arms in place. The parachim, the flowers, had, of course, absolutely no functional role. They were there merely aesthetically, and Rav Kahana was commenting on aesthetics and function, form and function, or form and substance. So that's one aspect in which Torah is meant to reflect light. I would call it existentially, psychologically, culturally even. Torah also represents light metaphysically or cosmologically. There was a light that was available to human beings before the end of Sheishis and Mebereshis, before man fell into a world of sin. Different versions called the Or Sheishis and Mebereshis, the Or Haganuz L'Sadikim, a light that Hashem banished from our reality, but Hashem is reserving for future use. Chazal talk about this light as allowing man to see from one edge of the earth to the other. I don't think Chazal referring to visibility and binocular assisted vision, but just to be able to understand our world and our experience in ways that are still beyond human comprehension. And we no longer have that light available, but the closest we have is Torah. And Torah allows human beings to understand both their immediate reality, the cosmos that they inhabit, the world and the planet that we inhabit. Everything is drawn from the blueprint of Torah. So by studying the blueprints, you can perceive the depth of the entire cosmos in a way that you can no longer see directly by just gazing at it, because that perspective was banned or was removed. But Torah, as it's the blueprint, will allow that access point. So the light is not just a reference to Torah allowing us to navigate a world of darkness, chaos, confusion, moral degeneracy, moral evil, but also the light of reason and the light of comprehension in a purely intellectual fashion, not intellectual as opposed to spiritual, but not experiential, to help us better experience this world, but simply to better understand this world. And that's the first association which Chazal drew from Torah being light. The second association is the ability of oil to be poured into any other liquid and not just to retain its independence, but to rise to the top. So the oil will coagulate and rise to the top because its density is different from the water. Now, Chazal saw this in two ways. In a literal sense, not just for Torah, but for Jews who study Torah, and that Jews sometimes are poured into foreign environments, and sometimes they begin the lower end of hierarchies, the same way that oil can be poured with force, and that oil, let's just use the example of water, which is familiar to most of us, can sometimes reside at the bottom of a mixture, but since it doesn't mix and it coagulates, it then rises to the top. And for Jewish people, historically, these two phenomena have marked their experience, where we're poured into foreign environments, but we maintain our cultural and national independence, and that ultimately results in a surfacing and an ascent that, quite frankly, sometimes is miraculous. And I think we're living through such a moment where we've been poured out and spilled out into the guts or the environs of this world after World War II. And within such a short amount of time, we've been able not just to regain our national identity, but also to rise and to build our state. I think the same thing is true. I don't think Chazal talk about it this way, but I think it's latent about Torah. And that's why we rise when we study Torah, because it's the Torah that gives us this distinctiveness or distinction from this world. We're part of this world, but we're not enmeshed in this world, and we have that autonomy. And of course, if we study Torah, there's an elevation and an ascent that Torah provides as a lift that Torah provides to the Jewish people. So I think that this oil imagery is not just about Jewish history, but it's about Jewish history when fueled and propelled by Torah, which conveys both of these components, both the independence and autonomy, as well as the lift and the thrust to allow us to arise to the top of whatever mixture we're in. The final part of this medrash, which is a little bit nuanced, it's not easy to understand from reading the medrash directly. So first I'll read the language and then explain what I think the medrash is referring to. Ma ha-shemen ha-zen nichtash. V'chol ma she-nichtash hu meshubach. You have to literally squeeze it out and tease it out, and every piece or every drop that you squeeze is endeared and beloved and precious. Kach tara, kol mi she-nogea ba. It's a strange language, so kol mi, anyone who touches it, hu meshubach le-baleha. Who, it's not clear who it's referring to, who he is desired and beloved to its owner. I think what's being described here, and this is where oil is very different from wine and water, the other liquids to which Torah was compared, which typically you think of in volumes, you produce in large volumes, of course, the volume of water, the volume of wine. Oil is both produced in small quantities, drop by drop, being teased out of the olive. And not just the way it's manufactured, but because it's so slow to be drawn and to be poured, and because of its viscosity, so your experience of oil is also at a much smaller
level. You don't, I mean, of course, you have large jugs of oil, but you also interact with oil in much smaller quantities. And I think this relates to two aspects of Torah. Number one, as much as we look to accomplish large volumes of Torah and sweeping and vast knowledge and mastery over Torah, there has to be a sense of appreciating each and every shard, each and every element of Torah, each and every unit of Torah, each word of Torah. Whether it's Chazal speaking about when people begin learning Torah, it seems very slow when you learn unit by unit, element by element until it aggregates. Or even if we're able to learn at a quicker clip, at an earlier stage, there still has to be an appreciation for every svara, every tosfos, every unit in the way that only oil can convey. And not just in terms of how we process Torah or oil, but how we manufacture it, that the drops have to be teased out of the olive. The production is very, very single unit oriented, and it's drawn from the olive in the same way that we have to tease ideas out of texts, out of Chazal, out of Torah, unit by unit, idea by idea. So it's not just how we evaluate and appreciate the vast Torah that we hope to acquire, but it's also the manner of extraction and development that the teasing from olives are meant to represent. So these are three reasons which Chazal articulated as to why Torah is compared to oil. Number one, because it provides light and it radiates both experientially as well as cosmologically. Number two, because it coagulates and rises to the top and it has that effect on Jewish experience. Number three, because it's drawn drop by drop in a manner that's delicately teased out of the olive or crushed out of the olive. It doesn't have to be delicate, but it has to be drawn, and each unit has its independent value, each drop.